All right, in Romans chapter 1, turn to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, we're going to read a couple of verses here that we read quite frequently. Generally, we just start in 16, and I probably quote Romans 1:16 as much as any verse in the Bible, because it declares the fact that Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and it's the power of God and the salvation. But back up in verse 15, Romans 1:15, he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I want to talk to you about being ready to preach the gospel. You know, it's one thing to know the gospel. It's another thing to be able to memorize it. And of course, we know that the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He was raised again for our justification. That's a statement of the facts as far as the gospel is concerned. But Paul said there in verse 15, "As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Now, there are several reasons why I believe that the Apostle Paul was able to make that statement that he's ready. And there are several things that you need in order to be ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, the Apostle Paul knew what to preach. There's no mistaking about that. And how did he know it? Well, look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, and keep in mind now that the Apostle Paul says that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He says that several times. In 1 Corinthians 4, he says, "Be ye followers of me." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me." In Acts 20, Paul said that the gospel that was committed unto him was the gospel of the grace of God. Now the question comes up, if you've got John the Baptist preaching, you've got Jesus Christ preaching, and then you got him commissioning the 12, why is it that Paul was later added as an apostle, and why is it that we put so much emphasis upon the Apostle Paul? Well, we put emphasis upon the Apostle Paul because the Bible puts emphasis on Paul. We put emphasis on Paul because God puts emphasis on Paul. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, you know, if you're going to preach the gospel, and when I talk about preaching the gospel, I'm not talking about just men who believe that they are called to preach or that they have desire to preach and so forth. Every individual has an opportunity day by day to preach, that is, to proclaim the gospel. And if you're going to preach the gospel, you need to know which gospel you're going to preach. Say, "Well, I thought there was just one." Well, I want you to notice in the Bible, several men that preached the gospel, and yet they're not all the same. First of all, notice back in Mark chapter 1, in Mark chapter 1, we find the forerunner of Jesus Christ there. It's John the Baptist. And in Mark chapter 1, we find a very short verse that tells us explicitly what it was that John preached. In Mark chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Now, if you're going to preach today, I ask you, are you going to preach baptism of repentance for remission of sins, or are you going to preach the good news of the grace of God? John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So we have John the Baptist. Notice over in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist's father is speaking of the ministry of John. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 76, Zechariah, speaking of John, says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. So John comes forth preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. Then the Lord Jesus Christ begins his earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse number 7, the Bible says, Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm sorry, we need to go over to make it verse 17. Or Matthew 4:17, for time's sake. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, when you look at John's message of Matthew chapter 3 and Mark chapter 1, you can go back in the Old Testament to Malachi chapter 3 and find the declaration or the message being foretold. When Jesus Christ comes forth in Matthew 4:17, preaching repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you'll find that ministry back in Isaiah chapter 61, beginning in verse 1. But that's what Jesus Christ preached. Jesus Christ preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know that Jesus Christ called out 12 disciples. Look in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls out 12 men, and he commissions them to carry on the ministry during his life, but also after he's departed and ascended into heaven. In Matthew chapter 10, the first few verses there, he names the 12 disciples. In verse 5, the Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you know, it's interesting to me that there are numerous people who claim to believe that the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is church doctrine. And yet, in doing so, you have to ask the question, if it is, why is it that those same people are not preaching what was preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You've got John, first of all, preaching repentance and remission of sins. You've got Jesus Christ preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You've got the 12 preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As a matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter 19, in Matthew chapter 19, or chapter 16, I believe it is, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew 16:18, in response to that, Jesus says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now think about this. You've got John coming forth preaching. You've got Jesus preaching. You've got Jesus sending forth the 12 preaching. You've got Peter and the 12 addressed here in Matthew 16. And all this time they've been preaching, they do not even know that Christ is going to die. And yet the gospel that Paul said he preaches includes the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I know that these men could have not been preaching the same gospel that Paul preached. And anybody that simply believes the words on the page would have to acknowledge that they're not preaching the gospel Paul preached. Because the gospel Paul preached always included the death, burial, and resurrection. But not only that. It's interesting that in Matthew chapter 24, in Matthew 24, a short time before the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the cross, He says in verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom. What was he preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He tells the 12, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ is meeting with the 12. Again, this is after the cross, before he sends into heaven. And in Luke 24, verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, again, we need to think about this. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we've got John preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We've got Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've got him sending forth 12 men, telling them to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We find in Matthew 16 that that message did not include the death, burial, and resurrection. But after that is revealed, and even after his death, burial, and resurrection, he tells them that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, you know what you find over in Acts chapter 2? You find the apostle Peter, the one that Jesus Christ said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. That same Peter in Acts chapter 2 is preaching a murder indictment to the nation Israel. And in Acts 2:36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made that same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's something very important that we need to consider. And I've already touched on it several times here. If you are going to preach, if you are going to proclaim, that's what the word preach means. The gospel. The word gospel means good news. If you're going to preach the good news, you need to ask yourself the question, are you going to preach the good news that John the Baptist preached? Are you going to preach the good news that Jesus preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Are you going to preach the good news that the 12 preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Are you going to preach the good news that Peter preached in Acts 2:38? And are you going to preach the same message that Jesus preached in Matthew 19 when a man said, what must I do to have eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. You see, if you're going to go through the Bible and you're going to preach the Bible, you're going to have to decide what message you're going to preach. And to say they're all the same, folks, is absolutely ridiculous when you read the words on the page and they say something completely different. The baptism of repentance and remission of sins is not the same as Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. So the reason that the Apostle Paul was able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel, is that because the Lord had appeared unto Paul and given him the revelation of the mystery and the gospel of the grace of God. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, Paul knew exactly what to preach. I hope that you do. And it's my prayer that all men who are preaching today would come to a full understanding of what we are to preach in this dispensation. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 15, the Lord has appeared to the Apostle Paul. Let's start back up in verse 5. In Acts 9, verse 5, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Look down in verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, look over in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, in talking about his ministry, he says there in Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, talking about the persecutions and the trouble that he's been confronted with, he said, None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And keep in mind in Romans 11:6, Paul said, If it's by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Paul was given the message of grace. And in Romans chapter 1, all the way over through Philemon, you have 13 books that are written by the Apostle Paul. And in those epistles, we have the salvation for the church, the body of Christ. We have the walk, the position, and the destiny for the church, the body of Christ. And you're not going to find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not going to find that in Hebrews through Revelation. You're going to find that in Paul's epistles. And Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Why? Because Paul, he knew what to preach. He knew to whom he was to preach. God told him, you're going to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And when Paul goes out, he goes out as the minister of the Gentiles, and he does go to the synagogue first, but in every instance, he turns unto the Gentiles. And he calls himself the apostle of the Gentiles. So the apostle Paul, he knew what to preach, that is, the gospel of the grace of God. He knew who his audience was. As a matter of fact, read Galatians chapter 2 sometime, and you'll find that Peter and Paul made an agreement that Peter would go unto the circumcision and Paul to the uncircumcision. And as they go, Paul is preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision. Peter's preaching the gospel of the circumcision, which tells us very clearly there's more than one gospel. So again, we have to ask ourselves the question, if we're going to preach, what are we going to preach? People say, well, I don't believe you all divide the Bible up. I believe in preaching all the Bible. No, you don't. People don't believe all the Bible. If they did, they'd still be taking their children outside the city and stoning them to death when they're rebellious. They don't believe the Old Testament. And most people do not follow what they call the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the doctrine over there. They might follow simply part of it. But the issue is the gospel that is preached. And things that are different, folks, are not the same. And the gospel of the kingdom is not the same as the gospel of the grace of God. Now, there's one other thing I want to mention about the Apostle Paul being ready to preach. And before we go on, we need to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've quoted this, but I want you to have a good understanding of exactly what the gospel is. In 1 Corinthians 15, no doubt about it, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There are Bibles that leave of Christ out and simply say, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, it's very important that you include the gospel of Christ. That's set in contrast to the gospel of the kingdom. It's a definitive term. In 1 Corinthians 15, we find out what that gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Notice verse 2, By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now people say, well, then that just destroys the whole thing. No, there's a number of ways people can believe in vain. People can believe the facts, the historical facts, without accepting them as truth for them without accepting the free gift. But regardless, notice in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." There is no mistaking, when you read the verse, what the good news is. It's not simply that Christ is coming to establish a kingdom. It's not repentance. It's not the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It's Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised again. And the Bible says in Romans 4, He was raised for our justification. Now, you know, it's interesting when you consider Romans chapter 1. When Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Can I suggest to you folks that when Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," he's not talking about simply the fact that he's not timid. You know, sometimes we are ashamed to open our mouth and because of what other people might say or think about us. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about at all. We know that Paul was bold. We know that he prayed for boldness, that he might open his mouth with boldness and speak the mystery. But I believe when Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," that the statement means, in effect, I am fully persuaded that this gospel that I'm preaching to you will do what God said it will do. Because he goes on to say, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." You know, that's the confidence that we need when we preach the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said that we, in writing to the Philippians, he said, "We are the circumcision, but we put no confidence in the flesh." Let me tell you something, folks. The power of the gospel is not in how it's delivered. It's not in the delivery. It's not in how loud you say it. It's not in how eloquently you might say it. The power of the gospel is in the words of the gospel and what those words mean. Christ died for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. Why is he not imputing our trespasses? Because he died for them. All in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be sin for us. Then you know sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Think about the glorious proclamation to Gentile people like you and I, who Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, were strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. And yet Paul said, "Listen, to you that were not a part of Israel, you were not God's chosen people, you were not part of those that were blessed in Israel, I've got some good news for you. And that good news is that Christ died for your sins. He paid for every one of them. He was made your sin. And there's not one sin today that you can commit that God has not forgiven in His Son, Jesus Christ." People talk about the unpardonable sin. No such thing today. If there was an unpardonable sin, Paul committed it himself and he would have been put to death immediately because he committed blasphemy, which is the one that was unforgivable under the kingdom program. But don't you understand? Today we're talking about grace. The dispensation of the grace of God and the gospel of the grace of God. And that gospel is the power of God to salvation. And the reason that the Apostle Paul could say that I'm not ashamed of that gospel, he knew what the results would be. You see, I know what the results of preaching the gospel are. Now, I don't know that specifically by individual. But I know when I preach the gospel of the grace of God, number one, I know for certainly that I'm doing what God desires be done, because the Bible says it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I know that if I were preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins, I would not be preaching the truth for this age. If I was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, I would not be preaching. And I would not have confidence in that gospel to save your soul. I do have confidence in the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, as being able to save the souls of all men, because the Bible says it can do that. Paul said, by this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. So listen, if you've never been saved, it's quite possible that the reason you haven't is because you've been confused by all the different gospels that you hear proclaimed. You might have heard in a church service somewhere, you need to walk down the aisle and join the church. You might have heard to come forward and confess your sins. Somebody might have tried to get you to repeat the sinner's prayer. Somebody might have led you down to Romans Road and got you to repeat a prayer at the end of that. But regardless of what the circumstance is, I've got some really good news today. And that is that regardless of what you have done in the past or what you've trusted in the past, today, all you need to do is quit trying to bring about your own salvation and relax and trust totally and completely and fully in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He did at Calvary. Because the issue is not getting forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. You've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. And if you would, by faith, accept that as a free gift, God would pass you from death unto life in a heartbeat. And in that moment, by one Spirit, you'd be baptized into the body of Christ and become a member of His body. And you'd be sealed unto the day of redemption. That is a wonderful, glorious message. And that's why Paul talks about the glorious gospel of the grace of God. So the question again, if you're going to preach, what are you going to preach? Are you going to preach the message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Are you going to preach the message of John the Baptist, of Jesus Christ, of the 12, of Peter? Or are you going to preach the message that God instructed us to preach today, the message committed to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, who was given the gospel of the grace of God, and committed unto him was the dispensation of the grace of God? I would ask you to prayerfully consider these things. And above all, is if you've never been saved, I would invite you today to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, simply by relying totally and completely upon what He did plus nothing. That's what the gospel's about. And that's why we can say with all confidence, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.